Hi, everybody, and welcome back here for the final little bite-sized political podcast of the day, April 17th. Hope this one finds you well. And as always, of course, my sincere thanks to quantumhypno.co.uk for sponsoring this and enabling me to do this work. So thanks to you as well. Okie dokie, shall we talk about the smoking ban, which is very much in the news at the moment, and how that's linked to the digital ID bandwagon. So, as you know, there has been an attempt to ban cigarette sales, which has really stunned a lot of social conservatives this week. Banning cigarette sales may be a multi-layered agenda, but I want to talk about how the ban would work in practice. Now, this is from the Daily Mail. Quote, Rishi Sunak wants to ban tobacco sales to anybody born on or after January 1st, 2009, meaning children aged 15 or younger today will never legally be sold a cigarette in England. Okay, so how does that work? Well, it works by taking the concept of using ID at the age of 16 and imposing it on anyone of that age or thereabouts. What does that mean? It means a whole lot more people will want IDs at their fingertips. Young people are right for this sort of social engineering because they don't know anything else. Anyone over the age of 30 will know the country never used to work like this. But phone-addicted youngsters are a pushover. The use of multinationals to push deep state agendas may mean big supermarket chains refuse to sell any cigarettes to anyone without an ID. Think about that. The second thing is to have a look at who's leading the PR campaign for this. Why, it's our good pal, Chris Whitty. The Chris Whitty who oversaw the rollout of a vaccine that nearly led to every man, woman and child holding an ID. And just by chance, here he is associated with another drive that would involve showing ID. This is a tweet thread from a sort of comedy account called John Dunno. Quote, I think the tobacco bill is a legal test and foundation stone for digital ID and CBDCs. They need legal precedents in place first before implementation of schemes which then simply piggyback legislation. This is a systematic testing going on of specific and identified pieces of legislation which, if managed to get through, begin to shred the cohesion of our common law and their precedents. Scotland's hate speech bill is another example of this. It's legal ginger. In addition to the ginger game, the precedents being implemented by stealth are beginning to look a lot like lawfare, where society is stratified and different age demographics are subject to different legal penalties, but also social restrictions and freedoms. How anyone is supposed to keep track of that is anyone's guess, but it wouldn't be needed if there was an electronic overseer, much like in China, where social credit system dovetails with lawfare and people exist within their gated communities. The argument here is there is pretty clear. You and I can see where this is heading. Once you know the final destination, you can guess all the stops in between. Sadly, not everyone is on our side will see it that way. Let's move on and look at the weekend just gone by and this headline in the Daily Mail. Quote, social media could be banned for under 16s to protect them under new plans being considered by ministers. Hang on, this government is in its dying days, but it flies this kite in front of the public? At this stage, this is just a consultation. Yeah, right. One of those consultations. But here's the really interesting part of the story. Rishi Sunak's Deputy Chief of Staff, Will Tanner, is also said to be heavily involved, suggesting there is strong backing for them at the very top. Ah, from the very top. Just as with Mr. Whitty and the smoking ban, the fingerprints from those at the very top are all over this kite flying exercise. Just imagine that. Rishi Sunak is about to be thrown out of office, we all know that, and is deeply involved in efforts connected to two major wars. But he has time for this. I mean, gosh, it must be really important. It's almost like it's connected to the World Economic Forum agenda, isn't it? But once again, how could this be enforced? Would it involve showing an ID online? Of course it would. That is the only way to enforce such a ban. And this is not the end of it. The Mail also tells us, ministers will also consider banning children from buying smartphones as part of a consultation on protecting the young online. This too opens the door further towards digital age verification and a papers please society. Once again, how would this ban be enforced? It's ID, it's ID, it's ID all the way. Notice how all of these things are happening at the same time. And that's not a coincidence. And we're not done yet. Here was another kite-flying headline from a few weeks ago in the same newspaper. Quote, if Britain had brought in identity cards, illegal immigration would be a fraction of today's level. It's not too late to revive them and stop the boats, says David Blunkett. Oh my God, David Blunkett. Do you remember him? That old spiv. Blunkett, who tried to bring in mandatory IDs, ID cards in the last Labour government in 2003. That was over 20 years ago he was trying to do it. Back then, he tried to spin the idea of a mandatory ID as being to help disrupt organised crime and terror groups. Right. But, and so he's come back with the same agenda, and now he's spinning it differently. And notice the spin doctoring on this, on these issues. I mean, you want to protect the kids now, don't you? Then we need ID for people on social media. You want to stop uncontrolled immigration, don't you? Then we need mandatory ID cards. We can see through this utterly hollow spin. But if you look at the reader comments in the Mail, there's a section of society that simply cannot join up the dots. In relation to the story about children on social media, some commentators think that this shows that Rishi Sunak is rediscovering socially conservative principles. And the Blunkett story was met with similar reaction by some of the commentators. Not everyone is fooled by these bogus arguments, but you can see what will be top of the agenda as soon as the next election is out of the way. Labour or Tory will be pushing to get the use of ID, digital ID, in place for all sorts of things. And where does that lead to? It leads to the continued push for digital ID, but it's going to be salami sliced into little chunks. At first, it's just ID. Then it becomes voluntary digital ID because, muck convenient. And then it becomes mandatory digital ID. For those of you who don't know, the European Union already has a voluntary ID scheme in place for everyone. It was introduced with the assurance that it would only ever be voluntary. Here's a headline from 2024. Football fans in Greece intending to watch games in stadiums may have to buy match tickets using a government digital ID app launched in 2022. Got that? So not just ID, but digital ID. The powers that be always begin the salami slice to make it easy for dim Joe public to swallow it at first. We're just going to give you it in small bites, and you'll be able to swallow the small bites. And whenever the coming election is over, this is one of the first big agendas that you're going to see them pushing. If you want to know more about any of this, why not check out Stop Common Pass on Twitter or Barrister Francis Hoare on Twitter, both of whom are trying to join up the dots on this for people before it is too late to stop. It may start with, oh, it's just a harmless tobacco ban. And before you know where you are, in a couple of years' time, it's going to be papers, please, wherever you go. That's the way these people operate. I've never smoked in my life. I absolutely oppose this smoking ban. I think it is exactly as I've highlighted. It's just another quick step into captivity. And we have to be smart enough to figure it out for what it is. Thanks for listening.